I know I gave different instructions about the order of the evening. What we'll do is as follows. We'll talk now for a couple of minutes. Afterwards, we'll recite Eicha, followed by Kinos. Typically, we recite five Kinos tonight. Tonight, we will recite six, going around our sheets with the new Kina, unfortunately, written by Yosef Tzvi Rimon Shlita. For the events of October 7th, we'll recite that together. We'll conclude davening, Aleinu, and then we'll say Tehillim, which are much needed right now in Eretz Yisrael. It was the first day of Pesach. During World War II, in the German-occupied town of Schust, in Czechoslovakia. In the Schust Rav, where Yeshua Greenwald got up Pesach morning to address the Kehillah. The day before, he and his family and many of the families in the town were evicted from their homes by the Gestapo and conducted their Seder in secret in the one room that was gifted to them by the Nazis. They used a few matzahs that they were able to scrape together because the Gestapo had also closed down the matzah bakery Erev Pesach in the middle of production. It was now very much the middle of the war. People knew what was happening in Europe. And as the Rav got up to speak, immediately everybody started to cry and to weep. They were so terrified, so worried what would happen to them and to their families. And they had reason to worry. And Rav Greenwald writes in his Sefer, Chesed Yoshua, that he had absolutely no idea what to say. What do you say in that moment? So he said, but he began by asking the question. We say in the Haggadah, in the Halach Ma'anya, Hashata Hacha, the Shana Haba'a Barad Yisrael. We say, right now, today, we're here. Next year, we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked the question, he said, Hashata Hacha, now we're here? Of course, now we're here. Where else are we going to be? Now we're here. Why say the phrase Hashata Hacha, now we're here? Where else would we be? And he answered that Chazal tell us that Ribbono Shalom doesn't make miracles for no reason. And he said to the people, we've seen until now incredible miracles. The world has been turned upside down. So many Jews have been killed, taken from their families, separated from loved ones. Jewish people have been persecuted for thousands of years, and yet, is there any greater nace, he said, any greater miracle than Hashata Hacha, that we're still here, we're in our shul, we sat last night, he said, at our Seder tables, with all that we've been through, Hashata Hacha, we're still here right now. And if you can see that with all that's happened to our people in the world and over the centuries and the millennia, that we're still here. We're still here fighting to live Jewish lives. If that which would absolutely make no sense, he said, is happening right now. Is it so crazy to believe that Lashana Haba Barad Yisrael? Not so crazy? If we can appreciate the Nes of Hashata Hacha, said Rav Grunwald, then we can believe in the Nes of Lashana Haba Barad Yisrael. This week we read Moshe Rabbeinu's final message, his long soliloquy that he delivered to the Jewish people, and it begins, Ela HaDvarim Asher Dibur Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. These are the things that Moshe told all of Klal Yisrael. And where did he tell them? Be'ever HaYarden, Bamidbar, Barava, Mol Suf, Ben Haranim, Ben Tofel, Vilavan, V'chatzeros, V'dizahav. These are a lot of places. They're not all one place. Those are multiple locations. Moshe wasn't in all those places at that moment. It's impossible. So why is he listing all the places? And so Rashi tells us, this wasn't a lesson in geography. Moshe was relating a lesson in history. These were hints to the different places where terrible things had happened to Klal Yisrael, the mistakes they had made in the Midbar. In fact, Moshe spends many parshiyos, Devarim, Vaschanan, and others, relating the mistakes that people made. The mistakes of the previous generation, the troubles they'd gone through, to the new generation. But why now? Why does Moshe take up so much, an entire Sefer of the Torah, recounting old stories? So Rashi answers that too. That Moshe's about to die and leave Bnei Yisrael forever. And before he does so, he wants to leave them with a message. So he pulls the young generation back 40 years. The stories that took place when they were children, before many of them were born. He's teaching them the history of their people. But not history for history's sake. Moshe is recalling the past to help the people prepare for the future. Moshe is not cataloging the stories of the Midbar for a history book. Moshe speaks to the people not because he's passing away, but because the Jewish people are moving forward to a new land and to forge a new destiny. And this we find throughout Tanakh, that history is recorded not for its own preservation, but for the preservation of the future of Am Yisrael. And this is exactly what we do on Tisha B'Av. We spend 25 hours recounting all the tragedies that have been experienced by our people over the past more than 2,000 years. We read the stories of the first Churban, the second Churban, the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Holocaust, and now October 7th. But we do so not just to remember the bad, to recount the history of how tragic it is to be a Jew. We do so to remind ourselves that after every single tragedy that our people have experienced, we've been able to get back up with emunah and move forward. Soloveitchik used to explain that this is the reason why the halachos of Tisha B'Av change at 1 o'clock tomorrow, Chatzos, on Tisha B'Av day. Why? So that that moment that the Beis Hamikdash was lit on fire, Chazal says, Shafach Chamaso Be'itzin V'Avadim Hashem, poured out his wrath on the building. Rather than destroying Am Yisrael, God only destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So that moment that Hashem showed us that no matter how far we could drift from Him, no matter how many difficulties we would face, to wake us up and remind us of who we are, even if our cities and our towns and our communities would be destroyed, even if terrible personal tragedies would befall so many members of the Jewish people, we as a people would never be destroyed. And if anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us the strength and resilience to move forward. And so, at the time when the Ribono Shel Olam lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, it's at that moment that we get up off the ground. We sit on regular chairs. We turn the lights on in the shul. The parochas goes back to the Aron. We put on talis and tefillin. As the tragedy of the Churban sets in, we do what Jews do. We prepare to move forward again. Every other year, I prepare to speak a number of times on Tisha B'Av. And my goal is generally the same every year. Help us all understand why this day is so sad. Help all of us Jews living in Teaneck, whom life is relatively fine, find a way to connect to a time way long ago when Jews would be chased down and tortured and murdered and kidnapped. To remember a time when Jews had depraved enemies who would murder children and burn down houses with families inside. To try to feel in some way and understand what Churban means in our generation. It was my job each year to help us all feel sad when everything was basically okay. This year my job changed. And all of our jobs changed. We don't need to paint a picture of Jewish tragedy for anybody in the room. We all know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. We know what it smells like. We know what it sounds like. And we will now tell the new stories of Churban in our lifetime. But our job this year is not only to tell about the sad. We have a different job this year as well. And that is to learn to have emuna. That after all the sad and the terrible and the horrible that we've experienced as a people, that in the end, as Shmuel HaNavi says, "V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem," that the Eternal One of the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, does not lie, but his commitment to us, and he does not relent. That the Ribono Shel Olam remains with Am Yisrael lanetzach, forever. And don't get me wrong, that does not mean that there will not be more tragedies. Emunah doesn't mean there won't be more loss of life. What it does mean is that whatever we experience as a people is not in vain. It means that whatever is happening, there is some kind of plan, and the normal course of human experience makes no sense to us and cannot be explained. But that is our job to know that we are here. Hashata hacha. And that if we are here, then it is our job to help move our people forward. Sapir Cohen was taken hostage from kibbutz near Oz on October 7th. Her partner, Sasha, remains a hostage to this very day. She was released in November. And Sapir recently told her story in North Woodmere. She said that about 6 weeks before October 7th, she started to feel terrible inside. And she couldn't explain why. She went to doctor after doctor, who all told her that she's totally fine. She didn't have anything physically wrong with her. But one day Sapir saw, and Sapir is not a religiously observant woman, at least wasn't. She saw a chapter of Tehillim posted on Instagram. And some person on Instagram said that if you say this chapter for 30 days, you'll be healed from whatever is bothering you. So she said, why not? I'll give it a shot. And she began saying Tehillim, chapter Chaf Zion 27, what we know as L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Hashem is my light, Hashem is my salvation. Every day. And day 30 was October 7th, 2023. And to listen to Sapir describe her perspective on being a hostage is to listen with a woman with emunah you can't possibly believe. She said when she arrived in Gaza, after also almost being lynched to death by the people in the street who were celebrating her capture, she was placed with a 16-year-old girl who was also a captive and, of course, was terrified. And she said, it was at that moment that she said, I know Hashem has sent me to this place to be here with this girl. And she said that every day in captivity for over 50 days, she said, I said three things every day. First, I said, my tefillah, she said, chapter 27 of Tehillim. The second thing she said was, thank you, Hashem, that you sent me to this place because I feel the power that you gave me and I know how to use it to protect myself and the other people with me. These are her words. And number three, she said, I thank you, Hashem, for all the angels that you sent to help me through this hell. This is the power of a Jewish woman to know that while she cannot possibly explain why she had to endure the most horrifying experience any human being can imagine, that somehow she was able to feel Hashem was with her and that she could use that emunah to strengthen herself and those around her. She said that the terrorist that was watching her every day said to her, you're my enemy. But when you walk in the room, the room lights up. I have to tell you one other thing that she said. She said that at one point the terrorists told her to come into the other room. They were watching TV. And they were watching like a hostage rally. And she said she saw Hasidim and non-religious people all together. And she said the last thing I remembered seeing was Jews fighting with each other in the street. And she said the terrorist turned to me and almost like by accident he said out loud, when the Jews are united, they're incredibly strong. So while the horrors of October 7th are unfortunately the next chapter in a long Tisha B'Av history, the strength and emunah of Am Yisrael in that very same moment is an equal, if not more important, part of that story. We say in Tehillim, Tzadi Beis, we know it as Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, Lahagid V'Boker Chastecha V'Emunascha B'Leilos. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His kindness, His chesed during the day, V'Emunascha B'Leilos, and your faith at night. Says the Sefer Ol Moshe, what are you talking about? It should say, Lahagid V'Boker Chastecha, thank you Hashem for your chesed, V'Emunaseinu B'Leilos. An Aramuna that we have to get through the dark times. And says to Ol Moshe, no. In this tefillah, we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even in dark times of history, He has faith in our ability to have Emunah in Him. That He believes that even as we struggle, we have the ability to hold on to our relationship with Him, to know He is with us until the morning comes again. Tisha B'Av is certainly about the past. But even more than it's about the past, it is about our future. To know that if Hashatah Ha, that if we're here now, then Bezrat Hashem L'Shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, that next year, if all the craziness that has happened over the last year is possible, we never in our minds would have imagined what we saw this year to ever happen in this world. And if that could happen, is it so crazy to think? L'shana haba, be'arad Yisrael. It's not crazy. Anything could happen now. The world's upside down. Bez Hashem, the power of Tisha B'Av, should He give us that ability to have Emuna shine bright, may our tefillos be answered, v'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.